Behold, the fields are white, it's harvest time.
With that familiar theme song, we're reminded it's time once again for the Harvest Time Gospel Broadcast. This is a daily broadcast with special emphasis on missions and world evangelization under the direction of Dr. Stennett Ballou of Resaca, Georgia. And now, here is Brother Ballou and today's broadcast.
Thank you and greetings, radio friends. What a joy and privilege it is to come to your place of listening and share together with you another Harvest Time broadcast. I praise the Lord for this open door, this heaven-bought privilege that our Lord allows us day after day together by the radio, open God's eternal word and study the word of God together. I trust that if it's at all possible, you'll take the time out, get your Bible, and follow along with us as we open the word of God together. Today, we're turning in our Bible to the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter number 12. We're continuing looking at the subject dealing with trials. On Tuesday's broadcast, we looked at the book of James, chapter number 1, and we saw that God allows us to suffer trials to develop us for Christian service. We learn from that portion of the Word of God that God would use the testing of our faith to develop our patience, and then He would use the testing of our faith to develop our protection, and He would use the testing of our faith to develop our praying. And we do need development in each of those areas. So God allows us to suffer the testing of our faith to develop us for Christian service. Then we saw on yesterday's broadcast that God allows us to suffer things. There is the test of things that come into our life. And we learn from the Word of God that God allows us to suffer things in order that He might display through us a Christ similarity. We suffer and the world suffers these things. But Christians do not respond to the things that they suffer as do the non-Christian. And God allows these things to come into our life. I pointed out to you, first of all, the Bible speaks in Romans 8:28 of those puzzling incidents. The Bible said, and we know that all things, and the best description that I could give you of this word things is just something that happened. It did not have to. It was not supposed to. We can see a number of reasons why it should not have happened. We can't explain why it happens. We cannot even give it a name. So we just call it one of those things. So these puzzling incidents, God allows them to come into our life. Then why? We saw the predestined image. God had His firstborn Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He wanted to be able to look at all of His other children and see Christ in them. And so He chose the fiery trials of things to bring us to the point of displaying Christ in our lives. And I pointed out to you how that the Word of God uses the word image. God predestined us to be conformed to the image of His Son. And God's method then, the process involved, God allows all of these things working together. And I pointed out to you how that I would not want to drink some shortening or some vegetable oil that you cook with. And I would not want to eat plain or self-rising flour. But you let someone who is a good cook take that oil and take that flour and work it together and some milk in with it and make me some biscuits, and I love it, but it's got to be worked together. You do not just dump in the oil and dump in the flour and dump in the milk and cook it. It's got to be worked together, and that's what God does. If we had all pleasure, no sorrow, we would never be Christ-like. If we had all blessings and no battles, we would never be Christ-like. If we had all victory and no valley, we would never be like the Lord Jesus Christ. But God works these together. They're the mountaintop high experience. There are the valley low experiences. There are the times of blessings. They're the times of battle. They're the times of valley. There's a time of victory. But God allows them all to come into our life and works them together to display through us a Christ similarity. Now then, we come to the third thing on the broadcast today. And we're looking in 2 Corinthians chapter number 12. And here we learn that God allows a believer to suffer thorns. Not only we suffer testing, we suffer things, but we suffer thorns. God allows a thorn or thorns to come into the life of his people for a purpose. Now, without me taking a lot of time going into the detail of these first verses, I'm simply going to offer this and go right to where I want to go. Paul has an experience in verse number 1 down through verse number 6. And when Paul has finished this experience, he summarizes it by saying, whether he was in the body or not, I do not know. Now people ask me if Paul was dead or if he was still alive. My answer is very simple. If Paul did not know, how do you expect me to know? I do not know if he was dead or not. I personally believe he did die and was carried up into the third heaven, and God brought him back. But that's beside the point. But in verse number 7, we find the purpose of the thorn revealed. Notice in verse number 7, Paul said, "Lest I should be exalted above measure, through the abundance of the revelation, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure." Here's a verse that is unusual in its wording, in the sense that it begins and ends with the same statement, "Lest I should be exalted above measure." Paul said that God gave him the thorn in his flesh to keep him from becoming exalted. He had been carried away into the third heaven and saw things that it was not lawful for man to utter. He had an abundance of revelation and insight with God. And he said that God gave him this thorn in the flesh. God calls it a messenger of Satan. And it's to buffet him. It is to keep him constantly reminded that he's still human. He's still a man. He has not come to the place of the eradication of the flesh. He has not come to the place where he is not tempted. He's not bothered. He does not suffer. And I do not know what the thorn in the flesh was. I really think it's more than just his eye problem that he had. But again, that's beside the point that I'm dealing with. God places this object of suffering in his life, and he calls it the thorn in the flesh. And the purpose of that thorn was to keep him from becoming exalted above measure. Now then, in verse number 8, we see not only the purpose of the thorn revealed, but we see Paul's prayer for the thorn to be removed. In verse number 8, he said, "For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me." Paul said, "I prayed 3 times for God to remove the thorn." I am convinced that those prayers increased in intensity and in fervency as he prayed them. I often think maybe the first time he just said, "Lord, would you please remove the thorn? Thank you in Jesus' name, amen." And then it does not go away, and he prays more serious and gets with God and makes his petition more fervent, and it still does not go away. And maybe the third time he gets in that, "Oh God," praying gear, and he pleads with the Lord for removal. But you know what? God would not remove the thorn. Paul said, "I prayed 3 times, I prayed thrice for this to be removed, and God would not remove it." But I want you to notice, not only there's the purpose of the thorn revealed, but there's a prayer for the thorn's removal. But in verse number 9, there's the profit of the thorn recognized, the benefit. Look at verse number 9. Paul said, could I just really say it in this manner? Paul said, God said to me, "Paul, I will not remove the thorn, but my grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. And here's Paul's response. Most gladly, therefore, will I then rather glory in my infirmity, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. In verse number 7, you have the purpose of the thorn revealed. In verse number 8, you have the prayer for the thorn's removal. But in verse number 9, you have the prophet of the thorn recognized. God said, Paul, I will not remove the thorn, but I will provide sufficient grace for you to endure the thorn and have the manifestation of my strength through your own weakness. And so we see that God allows the thorn test to come into the life of a Christian to demonstrate Christ's sufficiency. Thank God he is greater than the thorn. He is greater than the storms. He's greater than the test and the trials and the sufferings that he allows to come into our life. To me, here's a good illustration of what the Lord said to Paul. He said, Paul, I will not remove the thorn from your flesh. And you know it was not a literal thorn. It was figuratively. But I'm speaking now as though it were a literal thorn. He said, I will not remove the thorn from your flesh. But I tell you what I'll do, Paul. I'll take your hand in mine, and I'll dip my hands into the balm of Gilead, the grace of God. And I will rub my grace over your suffering hand where the thorn is. And I will pay you so much attention because you have a thorn in the flesh, till you get to the place you had rather have the thorn and have my presence and my attention than not to have the thorn and not have me. And when Paul sees the thorn as bringing into his life a demonstration of how sufficient Christ is, Paul said, then I will therefore glory in my infirmity, that the power of God may rest upon me. He said, do not take the thorn. I'll keep the thorn. I'd rather have the thorn and have the power of God resting upon my life than not have the thorn and not have God's power upon my life. Now listen to me. I do not know what you're suffering, and I do not know what your thorn is, but I'll tell you why it's there. God has allowed that thorn to come into your life that he might demonstrate to you he's greater than the thorn. He demonstrates Christ's sufficiency. He could remove it, but no, he's going to demonstrate he's bigger and greater and more blessed than the thorn is. He will do that for you today if you'll allow him to do so. Father, take the word. Use it to your glory, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Behold, the fields are white. It's harvest time.
Well, I trust you enjoy the broadcast today. How I praise the Lord for this open door, this heaven-bought privilege that our Lord allows us day after day to gather by the radio and study his word together. Let me encourage you that you pray for the broadcast, that the Lord would bless it and use it to the glory and honor of the Lord Jesus Christ. Also, I want to encourage you that you write to us and share with us in the financial burden of the radio ministry. Simply address that letter to Harvest Time, 179 Promised Land Drive, Resaca, Georgia, 30735. That's Harvest Time, 179 Promised Land Drive, Resaca, Georgia, 30735. And be sure to join us each weekday, Monday through Friday, at this same time. God bless you until the next broadcast.